Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
The majority of people on this planet at the moment organize their lives around a founding proposition that God wrote one of their books. We have the marriage of literally Iron Age philosophy with 21st century destructive technology. This on its face should seem untenable to us.
Well, that's Sam Harris, author of several books, including Letter to a Christian Nation, a famous new atheist, saying, in essence, and he's made this argument along with so many of the other new atheists, that religion in general, and for him, Christianity in particular, is the main source of society's ills, past and present. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Now, I want you to listen to an interview that we had earlier this week with an atheist, Bruce Scheiman. He's a student of philosophy and theology for 30 years, and he's written a book. It's a brand new book called An Atheist Defends Religion, Why Humanity is Better Off with Religion Than Without It. He's kind of bucking the trend of atheism nowadays, saying religion isn't such a bad thing. In fact, it's been a net good. And then I want to hear from you. About a quarter to the hour, we're open the phone lines, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address as we come to you live this Thursday afternoon, July the 30th, talkback@issuesetc.org. I began our conversation with Bruce Scheiman asking how he responds to the common contention of atheists nowadays that religion is the main source of society's ills.
Well, if you took a social Darwinian approach to that, it makes no sense. If ideas that are not successful, those are the ideas that come and go, and those are the ideas that people repudiate over history. If that were really true, then religion would have ceased to exist a long time ago. So, I mean, just from some empirical perspective, that religion not only exists, it's becoming more pervasive as a number of new books have come out and are saying that it's not possible. I mean, it's just not possible on the level that if it were the source of all ills, we would have gotten rid of it a long time ago.
How do you think the atheists, the popular ones, how do you think they do it representing atheism, your particular belief?
Well, I see them as extremists. In the book, I identify, I mean, there's an attempt to understand fundamentalism, and there's also an attempt to attribute fundamentalism purely to religious organizations, and in the popular mind, fundamentalism and religion seem to go together. But I developed an idea of the fundamentalist personality, and the idea is that this kind of personality exists in all kinds of group contexts, all kinds of organizational context. So to say it's only religion that has a fundamentalist orientation would be incorrect, and that any kind of organization, political, social, as well as religious, can have fundamentalism as a part of it.
Your defense is not so much of a God as it is of religion. What do you mean by aspiring theist?
I'm an atheist, and I don't necessarily consider myself happy as an atheist. I think religion offers certain benefits, taking an economics approach, certain communal, moral, social benefits and mental health benefits that no other organization offers. And so I just find myself wanting to embrace If not, I can't believe in God, but I'm trying to, I guess, I'm trying to justify or, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I'm trying to understand religion as a cultural institution, and I'm really showing the value of religion as a cultural institution as opposed to just saying God exists and these are the reasons God exists. My approach is not as someone who believes, but someone who would like to believe. And so I'm trying to understand religion as an institution and what it offers society that, for example, atheism or no other kind of ideology offers.
You write, at some point in our history, we transitioned from human being to being humane. Making that transition was facilitated by religion. What do you mean?
Yes. If you look at the history of human progress, religion has always been a part of that. And whether it's the abolition of slavery or it's women's rights or it's any... Religion has been actually in the forefront of many of the social movements that have enabled human beings to transcend just the animalistic or evolutionary dimension of life and to actually become humane as well as human.
Do you distinguish religion from religion? Is there because, I mean, we're talking about a very broad scope under that term, religion. Mm-hmm. Do you distinguish one from another as being especially beneficial in civilization and history?
Yes, in the sense that I'm a Westerner, so I guess my emphasis really is on Western religion. In the book, I do attempt to show how I think all religions are very similar in terms of what people are seeking through religion. But my orientation being more Western, so I guess I'm more focusing on Christianity. And much of the historical development really is a Christian phenomenon. That's why, in a sense, much of that historical development took place in the West.
How would you characterize Christianity's contribution to society, to man's continued transition from human being to being humane?
I think, you know, the more, I think contemporary religion, I think this is where atheists get it wrong. They tend to see religion as being this archaic institution that is the same today as it was centuries ago. But religion is as dynamic an institution as any society exists in. If you look at Christianity and you look at it over the last 500 years, there's been religion in general, but Christianity in particular, has more of a humanistic approach. Religion, of course, is by definition God-centric, but my view is that over time, Christianity has become more human-centric and more humane and more humanistic. In the book, I draw a parallel between a speech that Pope John Paul gave and something that I took out of the Humanist Manifesto. And they're very similar in terms of emphasizing humanism and focusing on the welfare of humanity and wanting humanity to flourish. So, and I think Christianity is really at the forefront of that in the religious sense.
How do the militant atheists, how do they get science wrong or abuse science?
I distinguish between science and scientism. Scientism is like the ideological version of science. Science is, with the scientific method, is agnostic, inherently agnostic. It doesn't say anything about the existence or non-existence of God. Scientism is the attempt of militant atheists to use science in a way that repudiates or negates religion and God. And thus, scientism is actually inherently atheistic. So it's using science as a way to attempt to undermine religion, and therefore it's not science anymore. It becomes an ideology of its own, and I call it scientism.
Is there, in your way of thinking, a fundamental contradiction between religion and science?
No. In a sense that if you are attempting an explicit understanding of where the world came from, then yes. If you're looking at facts, yes. But if you're looking at the intention, the motivation behind science or religion, they're really very, very similar. Again, they tend to take a humanistic approach. Science, the scientific method is, as we know, a very cold method. But science itself is used for humanistic purposes, to overcome hunger, to overcome disease. And in that sense, science and religion really are come from the same human spirit, to transcend nature, to improve the human condition. And in that sense, science and religion are very similar.
Do you think that religion gets its due credit in the area of human rights, in the area of human dignity?
No, it really doesn't, and not in the popular culture. It really doesn't.
So what do you think so far? I'd like your reaction to thus far to our interview with Bruce Scheiman, author of the new book, An Atheist Defends Religion. We'll open up the phone lines in about a half hour. Some more of the interview on the other side of this break. Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's July the 30th. Now, you can start emailing your reactions, your questions, and your comments to us right now. We get it in real time here in the studio. We'll save that email for when we go through phone calls as well a little bit later. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We're listening to an interview with Bruce Scheiman, author of the book, An Atheist Defends Religion, Why Humanity is Better Off with Religion Than Without It. 1-877-623-MYIE. Stay tuned.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking gelato, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. www.facebook.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, July the 30th. We're getting an atheist perspective on the value of religion against most of the contemporary wisdom floating around in the atheist community. This atheist, Bruce Scheiman, believes that religion has done a lot of good, actually is good for society and civilization, and needs a defense, even from
atheist. He's a student of philosophy and theology for 30 years, and he's author of the new book, An Atheist Defends Religion, Why Humanity is Better Off with Religion Than Without It. Now, so far, he has dealt with the issue, no fundamental conflict between religion and science. It doesn't get its due when it comes to human rights in pop culture. Now, remember, what Bruce is doing here is defending religion on what he calls an economic basis. Has it, on the whole, giving certain measures in society, been good for society and civilization? Back to our interview with Bruce Scheiman. Looking at it from an aspiring theist or an atheist perspective, when you see how Christianity is portrayed in pop culture, what are your reactions?
I'm not even a Christian, and it offends me. I find it very offensive. And, you know, it's hard for me to believe that the people who say these things are going to, you know, supposedly run the world if indeed they were able to eliminate religion. It's kind of the lunatic fringe that's taken over in atheism. And, you know, they like to emphasize that they're all about reason, but they're not very reasonable. So the way they portray Christianity is a very bigoted approach.
I'd like you also to, I mean, if you could, critique the way that not so much also that Christians are portrayed by the popular media, but the way that they portray themselves in that media. What would be your critique there?
The way the media critiques?
Well, the way that Christians portray themselves in the media or present themselves in the open public square.
I don't know that I can answer that.
I think from a Christian's perspective, I often feel like we're represented by fairly poor voices.
Right.
When
okay.
it comes to that.
I see what you mean. Well, there is a fundamentalist voice. Again, I think fundamentalism is characteristic of all kinds of ideologies and organizations. But when those fundamentalist voices predominate, they're not presenting their particular belief system in a way that people are going to embrace. It could be perceived as being arrogant or offensive, and in that way, sure, there are a number of Christian voices that don't help their own cause, just like there are a number of atheists that aren't helping their own cause. These so-called new atheists are not really helping their own cause. They're making it more visible, but I really think they're turning a lot of people off, a lot of atheists off.
We're talking with Bruce Scheiman. He's been a student of philosophy and theology for 30 years. He's author of a new book, An Atheist Defends Religion, Why Humanity is Better Off with Religion Than Without It. In one of the chapters of your book, you talk about religion, the title, Religion is Union with the Divine, and then you talk about salvation, transcendence,
right.
Apotheosis. And I sense in that chapter, this is one of the things that you find appealing
right.
in the religious mindset. Explain that,
right.
if you would.
All right. Among the, and again, I don't mean to offend anybody by saying that I'm taking an kind of an economics perspective on religion. All that means is that I'm looking at the social, cultural benefits as well as the personal, individual benefits. Among those, if you identify things like community and communal and even morality, in today's day and age, you can get a lot of that outside of religion. I think it's difficult, for example, to get morality outside of religion, and that's what chapter 2 is devoted to. But you can get a lot of the benefits from other institutions. The one area where I don't see any kind of substitute is what I call transcendence, or I use the term absolute value, which religion offers and which I think every human being has a need to embrace absolute value. I can't define that other than saying, you know, it's a transcendent spiritual reality. It's God. It's the infinite. It's the highest value that you can conceive. And I think I have that need. And I think only religion and only God provides that. The only way to really embrace the infinite is through God.
Talk a bit about the societies that have probably more in recent history than any other time, attempted to eradicate religion from public discourse, from practice. I mean, there have been attempts, albeit failed, under communism to eradicate religion from public life.
Well, there were experiments that failed miserably. And again, I think it's a misreading, the idea that only religion can be fundamentalist. Is wrong. Those secular ideologies were more fundamentalist than any religious ideology they were trying to eliminate. So, and when you take religion out of the equation, atheists want to believe that they can have morality without religion, and to some degree, today, I think that's true. And I think it's true, though, for people who are culturally well endowed, which is to say people who have very good education and come from a very stable parent background. But people who have to fend for themselves without religion as providing a moral infrastructure, I just don't see where else they get it. I just don't see, they're not getting it in schools, and they're not getting it in business, and they're not getting it on the streets. So it really comes down to religion to provide that.
Do you think that to a lesser degree, is happening in the United States? An attempt, I mean, it's often claimed by Christians that there's an attempt to eradicate religion altogether. But do you think that's actually occurring?
Clearly there are elements that are trying to eliminate through the media, but they're not all that successful. And I just don't see how they can eliminate religious discourse. If anything, the religious discourse is actually growing and amplifying. So I don't see them as being very successful in eliminating religion in that sense.
We have a frequent guest on the program who has often said that the more that there's an attempt to aspire toward a secular ideal in American society, the more it's evident that much of that, even that secular ideal, those advocating for it, they're really borrowing, as he says, borrowing on Christian capital.
Absolutely.
You agree with that?
Yes. And I'm not a scholar in that sense, but there are a number of books by people like Rodney Stark who show that to be very explicitly the case, that our foundations, democratic foundations, and even science very much emerge from Christianity, out of Christianity. If you look at culturally, look at other cultures, science did not grow in the East. It grew in the West, and it was Christianity that really played a big facilitating role there. So, yeah, I think that's definitely true.
What, in the end, do you find appealing about Christianity?
Interesting. It's the religion I'm most familiar with, a little bit of Judaism, too. So I would just say Western religion. I go back to the benefits of believing in a transcendent spiritual reality, a higher power, God, the infinite. There are communal benefits and the moral benefits, and there are existential benefits. We're talking about transcendence. That's, and I my girlfriend is Catholic, and we're going to be looking for a church to join together. So there are a lot of things that I think it provides for me that I'm going to be more strongly looking at, even though I do not and I don't see how I can believe in God. I haven't been able to get there.
When you look at Christianity, obviously, it cannot be seen apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As an atheist, aspiring theist, how do you see Jesus Christ?
I see him as a historical figure who represents many of the values and who can be used to help understand and aspire to those values.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Well, so in essence, kind of a moral example or an example of someone who truly believed and lived the values.
Right. Exactly.
That's Bruce Scheiman. He's author of a new book titled An Atheist Defends Religion. Now, I want your reaction to this interview in about 15 minutes. I've got about 10 more minutes of the interview to share with you on the other side of the break, and then I do want to hear from you. You can start emailing us now, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. It's Thursday, July the 30th, and you can give us a call as well, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-6943. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. More with Bruce Scheiman, author of the book An Atheist Defends Religion, after this. And then I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Treadmill for the Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mother Teresa on the connection between life and peace.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Mother Teresa made many remarkable statements filled with wise insight into the human heart. In the following, she emphasized how respect for the sanctity of human life underscored a peaceful society. Quote, "If we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. This is why the great destroyer of peace and love is abortion." End quote. When one form of violence is accepted, others inevitably follow.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Thursday afternoon, July the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. So far in our conversation with Bruce Scheiman, author of the book An Atheist Defends Religion, kind of takes a pragmatic, functional view of religion. It's been good for society. He thinks he can make the case historically that it's been good and still remains good for society, for what he would say economic, not in terms of monetary or financial, but really in terms of how well it benefits society. He doesn't believe that an atheist can have morality without a religious belief, a transcendent belief, and he sees Jesus as a stellar example of living out the values that make society better. 10 minutes left in the interview, and then the rest of the hour is devoted to your reaction to this interview with Bruce Scheiman. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Back to the interview with Bruce Scheiman. When you look at Christianity, how would you describe its essential belief? I'm very interested in how an atheist, because I seldom get an opportunity to talk to an atheist,
right,
except ones who call and want to argue and not converse.
Right.
When you look at Christianity, how would you characterize its essential belief, not its results, but its essential belief.
Being an atheist, it is hard for me to go beyond the economics approach that I've described. I think Christianity itself is humanistic, and it appeals to me in ways that are not just selfish, but also very selfless and humanistic. But it's hard for me to embrace the supernatural dimensions. I can just bring it back to humanity. And I think Christianity, in particular, facilitates people aspiring to become more humanistic, and which is really interesting because the atheist misunderstands religion and Christianity by focusing only on God, and I really do think that Christianity today, more than any time in the past, has become much more focused on human flourishing, and that's what I would really want to embrace with it.
You know, it's interesting to hear you to hear you describe it that way because, for me as a Christian, the essence of Christian belief embraces both of these things, both of the things, and not only the divine, that is the transcendent God, but also an actual tangible connection that this God has made with humanity by becoming incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ.
And that
this Jesus is and I think you would probably concur insofar as we could, fully human, not just biologically human, but fully human, and I believe also divine, and that in this incarnation, it has this divine purpose that to rescue humanity by not just providing example. He certainly is example par excellence of all these things that you find laudable, but I do too. But also by becoming substitute in essence for all of humanity, laying down his life at the cross, the Christian belief in his death and resurrection as an atonement for all that is wrong in me and in all of humanity. And that then, as a Christian, gives me, I see Jesus Christ as then ultimately not only the center of my life, it can never be just this personal, just me and Jesus, the center of human history and the divine purpose of salvation, salvation from sin and death for all of humanity. How do you react to that?
It all sounds very beautiful to me. I wouldn't be an atheist if I believed that it were all true, but I would want to believe all of that. And I do think that Jesus, as at a minimum a historical figure, does help humanity to become better, to perfect humanity, and to become more humane as opposed to just human. And, this combination, I do describe it in the book, although, again, from a secular point of view. But, yeah, I mean, he represents both the human and the divine.
I got to know, if it's not too personal, you mentioned that your girlfriend is a Roman Catholic. What are conversations like between the two of you?
She believes that, but she didn't want to date an atheist. And when she heard I was writing this book, it made a big difference for her. Our conversations are a lot about how religion improves society and how we become better people through it. And she does want me to pray, and she does want me to get more involved. And, one thing I don't want readers or listeners to misinterpret, I mean, I'm not a shill, or if that's the right word, for religion. I'm not, someone who's really a religious person deep down, and I'm just making believe that I'm an atheist. I'm actually an atheist, truly, but I aspire to that belief. And I just finished a website for the book, and one chapter in the website, I call it the unhappy atheist. The flip side of being a aspiring theist, I think, is being an unhappy atheist. And of course, Dawkins and Hitchens are all going to say they're perfectly happy being an atheist, and I'm not convinced of that. And I do think that if we could embrace religion, those of us who don't or who don't believe in God, I do think it would not only be a better world, but we'd be happier. We'd just be we'd feel better about ourselves, and I think most atheists are unhappy with the condition. I don't think they want to be atheists deep down inside. They make it into a virtue because, well, you know, they don't have much of a choice. But that's kind of a subterfuge.
Why do you think you're an unhappy atheist? How would you put it in a sentence or two?
Because the human condition is a real tough place to be. And I would like some way of transcending it. And there are secular ways of transcending it. You know, you could be a wonderful human being without religion. But there are certain things that in the human condition that are really hard to swallow, whether it's mortality or it's sin. And I would like to transcend that.
You know, the hardest thing for me to swallow about my human condition is the second thing you mentioned there. I mean, it is this curved in upon myself sinfulness.
Yeah.
That alienates me not only from God, but also from everyone around me. I mean, it is, and if left to my own devices, I know exactly what, I know exactly how unhappy I can make myself and everyone around me, which is precisely why in aspiring for that, to transcend myself, I gotta have, you know, there's gotta be a rung above me that isn't of my own creation. There has to be something outside of me that I can hang on to that is better than me, because water never rises above its own level. So,
that's right.
And that is what I find in Jesus Christ. I find there is someone outside of me, objective, and he says, I lived this life for you. I died this death for you, not to make you any less a sinner, but to forgive you your sins and grant you salvation. And he says, hang on to me. And there is where I think Christians find exactly what you're hoping for.
Interesting. Very interesting. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, and as you said before, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it is a beautiful belief, and I've told people before, I think if Christianity weren't true and I were to meet the deity on the far side of this life, I would ask him, why wasn't it true? Because it was the most beautiful thing to believe, even if it wasn't true. Bruce Scheinman has been a student of philosophy and theology for 30 years. And he's author of the new book, An Atheist Defends Religion, Why Humanity is Better Off with Religion Than Without It. You can find information on this book, An Atheist Defends Religion, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Bruce, thank you so much. You've been very generous.
Thank you, and I apologize for getting nervous. I hope I didn't mess things up for you.
No, you did not, and believe me, I was a little nervous too. I just have sat behind this microphone so long, I don't sound like it anymore. Thank you so much for being here.
All right, thank you.
All right, when we come back from this break, what did you think of the interview? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, our email address here in this studio. Thursday, July the 30th, we're coming to you live. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. How would you respond to Bruce Scheinman, author of the new book, An Atheist Defends Religion? Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-344-3. What did I fail to ask him? What did I fail to say that I perhaps should have said? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Your phone calls, your email after this. Here's your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Email 10 friends the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, and we'll register you to win a gift certificate from Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on August 28th. Just go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, copy and paste the video's embed code into an email, send it to 10 friends, relatives, or fellow parishioners. Be sure to send a carbon of your email with your name and address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tell 10 friends about Issues Etc. and tune in on Friday, August the 28th to find out if you're the winner of a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and send the Issues Etc. YouTube video to your friends.
No ditto heads allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click promote. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're coming to you live this Thursday, the 30th of July, having finished our conversation with Bruce Scheiman, author of the book An Atheist Defends Religion. It's not very often that you get to hear an atheist on Christian radio, especially in an extended conversation. I'd like your reaction to that interview. Give us a call now, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or send us your email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Tom in San Angelo, Texas emails us. He says, Mr. Scheiman very much seems to be a person who is searching. He seems to think that man is capable on his own of finding whatever it is he is searching for. His goal in life seems to be for the third time already, he says, to make the world a better place to live. This can be done, in his opinion, by either science or religion. Religion and science seem to be more or less equated in his thinking. Both religion and science can improve society and the world, therefore they are equal in value. Religion apparently is only a way to live, according to Mr. Scheiman. Well, it is true in a sense. Christianity is most of all a way to die, writes Tom in San Angelo, Texas. He seems to have a very high opinion of man's ability to accomplish whatever he wants and would find it difficult, I believe, to agree with Martin Luther's explanation to the third article of the Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ. My prayer, says Tom, is that he would be able to recognize his inability to solve his and the world's problems and would see the necessity of accepting help from the outside in order to find true peace. His quote-unquote problem is the basic problem of humanity, self-sufficiency, rather than a total dependence on God. I think... what you've said there, Tom, is true. My sense in my conversation with Bruce Scheiman was that in the end he found himself in the dilemma of not kind of admitting I can't believe this, and knowing that he must believe something, that there isn't sufficient resources in himself to, as I said near the end, for water to rise above its own level. It just never does. And I find it rather striking talking to this atheist that he would admit that if there isn't something outside him, there should be. Mary in Southern Illinois says, "What I heard loudest was a profound sadness. I can relate to this because I used to be in his shoes. He hasn't yet realized that the curiosity he has about Christianity is the Holy Spirit knocking at the door. You did fine, Todd," she writes. "I could only wish that his girlfriend was a confessional Lutheran who'd have a better handle on all that you were trying to communicate to our sad friend." Mary in Southern Illinois, thank you very much. Well, what about you? What about the rest of you? Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. About 10 minutes for your phone calls and your email. Or talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Ennui, yes. Some sadness, without a doubt, Mary. And I think perhaps confusion about what Christianity really is. I mean, to think of Christianity, it's fine if an atheist wants to analyze Christianity according to its societal benefits, the economic model, as he used that phrase, and to get a grip on what Christianity actually is. You will notice that when I asked that question, what is your view of the basic belief, the essential belief of Christianity, he kind of said, "I can't penetrate it. I can't get past the God thing and the supernatural thing, so I can't really penetrate into it." And to be quite— you know, the temptation there is to say, well, let's talk about miracles. Let's talk about the divinity. But of course, an atheist by definition might not, will preclude those things philosophically. And you will notice that while Jesus worked miracles, he didn't spend a lot of time defending the miraculous or the supernatural to those around him. He simply presented himself as who he was, who he is. God in human flesh. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. 1-877-623-MYIE. I want to hear from you, your reaction to our interview with Bruce Scheiman, author of the book An Atheist Defends Religion, Why Humanity is Better Off with Religion Than Without It. Here's Jane calling from her car. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. I thought that one point that really stuck out to me, there was so much, it was so good. I wish you could have gone on for hours with him. But was when he said that, like, American religion is more like man-centered than however he was calling God, you know, than the deity-centered. And I think that's sad, but I bet that's what he sees a whole bunch of.
Jane, thank you very much. That stuck out to me as well. I mean, he had, as far as I'm concerned, a dead-on diagnosis of pop American Christianity. Now, he viewed it as Christianity. He viewed it as kind of a positive thing, that it would become more humanistic, more focused on self-fulfillment, self-improvement. But it was an accurate diagnosis of what I think is wrong, actually, with American Christianity in that sense, that it has turned too much into kind of a nude humanism. What can religion do for me rather than what has God done for me in the person of Jesus Christ? Dennis in Michigan, he writes this, I wonder on what your guest bases moral principles of right and wrong and how he would support a concept of good or evil. Also, does he hold to any universal truths? I think he certainly wants to, Dennis, and he certainly recognized that there are things right and that there are things wrong. And he even said at one point in the interview that he does not believe an atheist, and I think he speaks again for himself too, can have a concept of right and wrong apart from some sort of transcendent notion of God. Now, there's philosophically an honest atheist. That's refreshing if you ask me. Ken in Orlando, Florida says, I've never been so thankful for your program as I am now. What an honest assessment of life without a promise of forgiveness and eternal life. And what an excellent example of sharing the good news of Christ and his cross. It made me think of C.S. Lewis, who seemed to be an unhappy, happy atheist too. I pray that Bruce's heart would be opened by Christ and his gospel. Thank you very much for your kind words, Ken, and thanks for listening in Florida. Cindy's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. You know, I asked Jeff if this was going to be put under the title of Witnessing for Dummies, because this was just the best conversation to, like, the mouse in the corner listening to two men, one an atheist, one a Christian, and having a good conversation. You know how you say that we're too confrontational, and you know those conversations that you have sometimes and you say, why can't we just talk? Well, this was an example of just talking.
Well, Cindy, thank you very much. Look, I think we need to be honestly curious. When we can find someone, say in the case of an atheist, when we can find someone who is willing to talk to us and tell us what they're really thinking, what they're really believing, even though we may profoundly disagree, and of course, he's willing to talk to me, knowing full well that he profoundly disagrees with me as well, then let's take the opportunity, but let's not miss the opportunity. This isn't just curiosity at work here. Let's not miss the opportunity to, at the very least, not let the conversation end. What you don't want to do is say, all right, this is going to be a pretext for witnessing. No. Let's not let the conversation end without the other person at least hearing quite clearly, perhaps for the first time, perhaps for, you know, after many times, what it is that drives the Christian, what it is that is at the heart of Christian belief. If you're not going to believe it, then at least know what it is you're not going to believe. If you're going to be an atheist, be an honest one. I think we found someone very well on the way toward being an honest, at least an honest atheist, if not, as he said, an aspiring theist. One of the things that makes our program tremendous is its guests, whoever they may be, agree or disagree. There is a YouTube promotional video at our website, issuesetc.org, under the promote page, that features our guests, one of the backbone of what makes Issues Etc. such great Christian radio. I'd like you to email it to 10 of your friends to let them know what Issues Etc. is all about. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click promote. There's the video. Email it to 10 of your friends, then email us and let us know you did. Talkback@issuesetc.org. And our way of saying thanks, on the 28th of August, Friday the 28th, we'll draw one of the names of someone who emailed all those friends with the YouTube video promoting Issues Etc., and they'll get a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Issuesetc.org, click promote, find the video, and email it to your friends. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Colleen Carol Campbell about health care reform, and we'll also discuss creation with Pastor Alfonso Espinosa. It should be part of our everyday conversation. Here's the problem. We take this thing we call witnessing, and we forget that it's not an action, it's who we are. Jesus says to his disciples, you will go out and witness? No. He doesn't say you'll go out and learn how to witness, you'll go out and do a lot of witnessing. No. He says, you are witnesses of these things. And then he says, what does a witness do? Proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. It's not something you do, an occasional action that you carry out. It's who you are. So if you're a woman, being a woman is a 24-hour job, isn't it? You never cease to be a woman or a man. And you're a woman and a man in every context that you find yourself. Same is true of those who have been redeemed, who've been shown clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of their sins, Christ portrayed, crucified, and risen from the dead. We are witnesses 24/7. It's who we are in Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.